Banquet Hall. For appointment, call today at 905-458-8888, 905-458-8888, or visit chandnivictoria.ca. Chandni.
ट्रक सर्विसिंग खेतर विच ओंटारियो दा मोहरी ना क्विक ट्रक ल्यूब तुसी एक ट्रक चलाने जा फ्लीट हैगी जे तुहाडा टाइम वैल्यू रखदा अपॉइंटमेंट दी लोड नहीं फर्स्ट कम फर्स्ट सर्व्ड स्टेट ऑफ द आर्ट फैसिलिटी ट्रेन्ड टेक्नीशियंस राही बेस्ट हाई ग्रेड ऑयल्स फिल्टर्स इंजन दी जान बदाउंदे होर की चाहिदा तीन लोकेशन तो तुहाडी सेवा करदे QTL एग्जिट 268 हाईवे 401 कैम्ब्रिज एग्जिट 579 हाईवे 401 नापनी एग्जिट 5 QEW फोर्ट एरी सर्विस और क्वालिटी विच सब तो प्रमुख ना QTL 519622 60 جو آوے سو راضی جاوے
Assalamu alaikum, how are you today? I hope you're doing well.
Stick around to be inspired.
Welcome, listeners, to another edition of Muslim Perspectives. This is your host, Alim, and our selection today is taken from the Quran, chapter 73, Surah Al-Muzammil. Let's listen in as it's recited.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا إنا سنلقي عليك قولا ثقيلا إن ناشئة الليل هي أشد وطئا وأقوم قيلا إن لك في النهار سبحا طويلا واذكر اسم ربك وتبتل إليه تبتيلا رب المشرق والمغرب لا إله إلا هو فاتخذه وكيلا واصبر على ما يقولون واهجرهم هجرا جميلا وذرني والمكذبين أولي النعمة ومهلهم قليلا إن لدينا أنكالا وجحيما وطعاما ذا غصة وعذابا أليما يوم ترجف الأرض والجبال وكانت الجبال كثيبا مهيلا إنا أرسلنا إليكم رسولا شاهدا عليكم كما أرسلنا إلى فرعون رسولا فعصى فرعون الرسول فأخذناه أخذا وبيلا فكيف تتقون إن كفرتم يوما يجعل الولدان شيبا السماء منفطر به كان وعده مفعولا إن هذه تذكرة فمن شاء اتخذ إلى ربه سبيلا إن ربك يعلم أنك تقوم أدنى من ثلثي الليل ونصفه وثلثه وطائفة من الذين معك والله يقدر الليل والنهار علم أن لن تحصوه فتاب عليكم فاقرؤوا ما تيسر من القرآن علم أن سيكون منكم مرضى وآخرون يضربون في الأرض يبتغون من فضل الله وآخرون يقاتلون في سبيل الله فاقرؤوا ما تيسر منه وأقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة وأقرضوا الله قرضا حسنا وما تقدموا لأنفسكم من خير تجدوه عند الله هو خيرا وأعظم أجرا واستغفروا الله إن الله غفور رحيم.
That's Surah Muzzammil from the Quran, the book of guidance for all mankind. Let's listen to some of the translation of that. In the name of God, most gracious, most merciful, O you wrapped in your clothes, stand all night in prayer, except a little. Pray half the night or a little less or a little more and recite the Quran properly in a measured way. For we will soon send upon you a weighty revelation. Indeed, worship in the night is more impactful and suitable for recitation. For during the day you are overoccupied with worldly duties. Always remember the name of your Lord and devote yourself to Him wholeheartedly. He is the Lord of the East and the West. There is no God worthy of worship except Him, so take Him alone as the trustee of affairs. Be patient, O Prophet, with what they say, and depart from them courteously. And leave to me the deniers, the people of luxury, and bear with them for a little while. For we certainly have shackles, a raging fire, choking food, a painful punishment in store for them. On the day the earth and mountains will shake violently, and the mountains will be reduced to dunes of shifting sand. Indeed, we have sent to you a messenger as a witness over you, just as we sent a messenger to Pharaoh. But Pharaoh disobeyed the messenger, so we seized him with a stern grip. If you pagans persist in disbelief, then how will you guard yourselves against the horrors of a day which will turn children's hair grey? It will even cause the sky to split apart. His promise of judgment must be fulfilled. Surely this is a reminder. So let whoever wills take the right way to their Lord. Surely your Lord knows that you, O Prophet, stand in prayer for nearly two-thirds of the night, or sometimes half of it, or a third, as do some of those with you. God alone keeps a precise measure of the day and night. He knows that you, believers, are unable to endure this and has turned to you in mercy. So recite in prayer whatever you can from the Quran. He knows that some of you will be sick, some of you will be traveling through the land seeking God's bounty, and some fighting in the cause of God. So recite whatever you can from it, and continue to perform regular prayers. Pay the alms tax and lend to God a goodly loan. Whatever good you send forth for yourselves, you will find it with God far better and more rewarding, and seek God's forgiveness. Surely Allah is all forgiving, most merciful. On the line we have Ustad Faisal Baksh. Assalamu alaikum, Ustad.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ustad has a lifelong history of teaching and coaching Muslims in theology and practice of Islam. Ustad is also a licensed family counselor, assisting in resolving spousal issues and helping parents navigate raising children in this society. Ustad, give us some further expansion of these verses.
InshaAllah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I begin in the name of God, the most compassionate, the most merciful. So, God willing, I'll be focusing on the first 8 verses, just to give a high-level summary and overview of what it is that is being addressed here. And if I were to present a topic, a theme, so to speak, that these verses provide a template for improvement, for spiritual elevation, for increased strength in faith, growth and development, to name a few. The same precise expectations and aspirations in the month of Ramadan, and especially these last few days that are visiting us currently. So the idea here is that it's manifested in two other verses that I want to make reference to, because it will help us to frame this discourse initially. God Almighty says in another verse, "Indeed, you have in the Messenger of God an excellent example for those who hope in Allah in the last day and remember Allah, God Almighty, much." So in this first verse, there's an indication from God Almighty, there's a confirmation from God that in the Messenger of God, you have an excellent example, the most beautiful example, sort of an icon, if you wish, and a high, an amazing person to pattern one's life after. And in the second verse, God Almighty says, "And you are of a great moral character." You are on high ground, so to speak. There is no question about your character. There is no question about your morality. You are in an exalted position. So we have this being said about the Prophet, peace be upon him. And so when the surah starts, this particular recitation and selection, God Almighty is addressing directly his Prophet. And this is one of the earliest revelations that came to him. Because when he received the very first revelation, he was wrapped by his wife Khadija, may God be pleased with her. And so, in a loving way, in a way that is comforting, God Almighty is directing his call directly to the Prophet, peace be upon him. And there are primarily a number of things mentioned here. So the first one that is pointed out after God addressing his Prophet is to stand vigil at night. Part of it, half of it, or a little bit less than that. So we see that here the indication is that the Prophet is being prepared by his Master, by God Almighty, for something that is to come, because this is very early on. And this is mentioned in the fifth verse. "We are about to give you a heavy message, a weighty message." That message is not only in terms of the physical nature of the revelation, which was very demanding of the Prophet, peace be upon him, but also what is expected of him as he receives this now, spiritually and emotionally, and then to deliver it to humanity, knowing that there will be opposition to it. So when we look at how the Prophet was prepared, how God prepared the Prophet to receive the revelation and the task that is demanding, which God Almighty says it's a heavy burden, it's a heavy task. So we see that this is a spiritual preparation for receiving the divine revelation. And so the night vigil, which is called the tahajjud prayer, the optional prayer at night, gives one the opportunity. So if one is emulating the Prophet, peace be upon him, then the message is that there should be and there must be a constant practice of this night prayer, which we do often in Ramadan, because Ramadan has the night prayers, which are normally the Tarawih prayers. And then after that, one can then offer a number of cycles of prayer as nawafil, as optional, as tahajjud, or salatul layl, whatever names you want to call. So here is an opportunity. And what do we get from this is that God Almighty says in another part of the Quran, he says, "And keep this vigil, this night vigil, with it during parts of the night, offering additional prayers so your Lord may raise you to a worthy position." So in the performance of this optional prayer, even though it's emphasized so much, for the Prophet it was much more than an optional item of worship. Actually, it was one of the constant practices of the Prophet, peace be upon him. But from this we can learn that one is given an opportunity to be in the presence of God in the silence of the night. A special time of communion with God, pleading to him for forgiveness, for mercy, for blessings, for guidance, for help, for support, for strength, for patience, in hardships and tests, and expressing gratitude. So, in essence, what we see here, that the first step is this emphasis on a special time that one selects for their devotional worship. There are many scholars, actually, who have recently began to emphasize this as a regular feature of practice. And this is due to its obvious benefits. Even I heard one of our teachers, he said, even if it's just two cycles of prayer, two units of prayers, to offer, to stand and do that, you don't need to recite very long, even short verses. The second thing that is highlighted here is the recitation of the Quran. And when one looks at the verse, one can indicate that it is with correct articulation, clear pronunciation, and reflection on its message and guidance. And here, although the message can indicate it is during the night prayer that one recites, this is not limited. The recitation of the Quran, the reflection of the Quran is not limited to only the prayer. It can be done at any time. And again, I heard one of the scholars, he remarked that one of the advice he wanted to share as a message from Ramadan, as a lesson from Ramadan, is to make the recitation of the Quran and its reflection, even if it's a small amount, but consistent post-Ramadan. So we see here that the two aspects, the night prayer and the recitation of the Quran, are two fundamental pillars of this spiritual strength that we need to continue living a good life. The third thing that is mentioned in the first eight verses is that when we preoccupy ourselves with our daily task, God Almighty is teaching us to do so with devotion, whether we're working, studying, business, but to do this, first of all, in the correct manner and pleasing to God. So one then focuses during, as said, during the daytime, during the preoccupation with our different occupations that we have, to do so with devotion, meaning doing so with good etiquette, being diligent, doing our best, and doing so to please God Almighty and not engaging in any harmful activities or wrongdoing. And then comes the final piece, which is, and remember the name of your Lord. So God Almighty says dhikr is very important. So if we are pursuing this spiritual enterprise and framework or template, as I said initially, then these are the key pillars of this. And if one looks at this, then you can see how this is broad-based and it encompasses actually the entire life. So when we do that, it would be we are embarking on a life of God consciousness, awareness of the presence of God, which is essentially the main purpose of fasting in Ramadan, that comes along with all the other spiritual practices, the additional extra prayers, the recitation, the reflection of the Quran, phrases of dhikr, remembrance of God, charity, both the mandatory and the optional, placing much care in our speech, guarding our relationships, avoiding any harm, expressing kindness to others, and so on and so forth, minimizing speech. So we have all these practices in Ramadan, and so the idea is that we're motivated towards pursuing this whole notion of God consciousness, being aware of the presence of God, being aware that we will have to account post this life. And so in the teachings of Ramadan, especially during these last few days, to focus our attention on engaging in these four things that I mentioned here. And so the idea is that God Almighty wants us to live lives of a fruitful nature, and not to move away from society, not to be you know, separate or anything like that. But the idea is, whilst we live our lives, to do so with purpose, to do so with a spiritual underpinning, to do so with strength and faith. And what helps us to do that are these pillars: the night vigil, the recitation of the Quran and its reflection, the zikr of God Almighty, and to be devoted in whatever we are engaged in, be it a student, be it employment or business or whatever it is. And we can do so individually and collectively as families and collectively as community as well. May God Almighty accept all our efforts and undertakings and worships in Ramadan, and may He make us better people outside of, as Ramadan ends in the next few days, God willing. Wa akhir da'wan an alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum assalam. But before you go, Ustaz, we have a few remaining nights, maybe about five in Ramadan. How can we use that to maximize our spiritual transformation by reflecting on these particular, the call in these particular verses about night prayers?
Right. So try to put aside some time. So after we've done the, if we're managing how many rakats of Tarawih prayer, we put aside some time for the night vigil, the tahajjud prayer. As I said, even if it's two rakats, if it's two cycles, we also engage in much more recitation and reflection of the Quran. We plead to God Almighty through zikr and dua and supplications. We are also charitable during this time. We're reduced in our preoccupation by scrolling in our devices. We put aside a lot of time more to do and focus our attention to that which is spiritually uplifting and not connected to the worldly domain. I know it's very difficult because of the circumstances we find ourselves in, but these are very few of the things that are extracted exactly from the verse.
And we are told that in the last 10 nights there is a night that's very special. Can you elaborate on that?
Yes, so among the last, so it could be the last 10 nights, or it could be the odd of the last 10 nights, but among these nights is a special night. If one finds this night, then one would have gained almost 1,000 months in acts of worship. So the desire then, the pursuit, I should say, of the believer is to, you know, spend the time that would be engaged in dua. I think I mentioned last week the dua that the Prophet, peace be upon him, taught his wife, his blessed wife, Aisha, radiallahu anha. May God be pleased with her. And it says, O God, you pardon, you forgive, you're lenient. Right? Allahumma innaka afuun kareemun tuhibbul afwa fa'afun. You love to forgive, so forgive me. Or be lenient with me. Or erase my all my bags and bags of sinfulness. So this is the supplication that the Prophet, peace be upon him, taught his wife, and to look and to read that particular supplication as often as possible during these last 10, and to spend some time in the event that we may be blessed to find that night. So it's Laylatul Qadr. God Almighty refers to it, it's better than 1,000 months in Surah Al-Qadr, and it would be a great blessing if one is able to locate that night in prayer, in supplication, in dhikr, in dua, to be engaged in on all that, inshallah.
Inshallah. Jazakallah khair. May Allah reward you with good. And thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Ramadan is the month of mercy. Ramadan is the month of fasting. Ramadan is the month of giving and helping those in need. Ramadan is the month of Zakura, the month in which it first came down to Prophet Muhammad in year 16, a guide for all mankind.
Ramadan for fasting, for giving.
Ramadan
for patient,
Ramadan,
forgiving, and feeding,
Ramadan,
we love you.
Oh, Ramadan, Ramadan is a month of patience, Ramadan is a month of sacrifice, Ramadan is a month of praying, in the mosque for Taraweeh. Ramadan is such a fruitful month, for gaining lots of hasanat. The devil got chained in Jahannam is locked for all of Ramadan.
You don't eat food, no. You don't use a pepper, no. You don't drink anything, no. You don't think away, no. You read Quran, yes. You pray a lot, yes. We have the poor, yes. Increase our faith, yes.
Ramadan.
Yes, we are in that special month of Ramadan, and in the odd nights we are told that perhaps it's Laylatul Qadr, the night of that's worth 1,000 months, and it's perhaps a very good opportunity to seek God forgiveness. And for those who started fasting on the 19th of February, that night is supposed to be Monday night, the 27th night. So we encourage you to go out and or stay in and be devotional that night. So let's listen to some advice about the light of Laylatul Qadr.
The forgiveness of Laylatul Qadr. من قام Laylatul Qadr إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. That whoever stands to worship during the night, not necessarily the entire night, but a good portion for those who can, some portion for those who can do that with sincere faith, anticipating a reward, their prior sins will be forgiven. This is one of the many, many avenues of forgiveness that Allah Ta'ala opens for us in Ramadan. Of course, it's the month of fasting, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصم. So it's the month of fasting, it's the month of Quran, it's the month of taqwa. كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. So it's the month of taqwa, it's the month of fasting, it's the month of spending. The Prophet ﷺ was the most generous of all people. And the time he was especially generous is in Ramadan, when Jibreel would come and review the Quran with him. So it's many things, but forgiveness, the avenues are open. من صام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. Whoever fasts the month of Ramadan with sincere faith, anticipating reward, their prior sins will be forgiven. Whoever stands for prayer during nights of Ramadan and for worship during the nights of Ramadan, من قام ليلة القدر, whoever stands for worship during the night of power, whoever remembers Allah abundantly in Ramadan, they will be forgiven. So many, many avenues. Abu Huraira relates, يغفر في رمضان إلا من يأبى. Everyone will be forgiven in Ramadan except those who refuse. وقالوا ومن يأبى يأبى يا أبا هريرة. Who would ever refuse, oh Abu Huraira? من يأبى أن يستغفر الله. The one who refuses to ask Allah to be forgiven. So during these nights, ask Allah for forgiveness. Ask Allah to forgive our sins. And Allah will forgive our sins. This is from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a great opportunity. It's an immense opportunity. There's so many avenues to give the fasting person something to break their fast with, is a means of forgiveness. So there's so many. So may Allah Ta'ala bless all of us to take advantage of this tremendous opportunity. We should honor this month as Allah Ta'ala has honored it. Mention شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. The month of Ramadan in which the Quran was revealed is honored to be the month that the last, and many scholars say all of the scriptures were revealed, but the last for sure is revealed in Ramadan. This is an honor for this month. Allah Ta'ala has honored it. Do we honor it? How do we honor it? We honor it by going to the Quran. We should be reciting the Quran. We should be studying it, reflecting on its meaning. We should be coming to pray, to listen to it, recite it. We should not leave it on the shelf like we do throughout the year. We should honor this month. We should turn the televisions off. Spend some time in prayer. Take time to remember Allah. Engage in the adhkar of the morning and the evening. Whatever formula, Ma'thurat, Wird Latif, or Sahih Muslim or other places where they're gathered. But whatever you do, take time for these things. These are the things that help us to take advantage of this tremendous, tremendous opportunity that we have for forgiveness and to be touched. Ibn Rajab mentions a hadith. It's a weak hadith, but he mentions it, and just to encourage us, we'll relate it. He says that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, "Utlubu al-khayra dahrakum kulla." Seek good in all time you spend on this earth. And Ramadan, all these paths of goodness are open. وَتَعَرَّضُوا إِلَى نَفَحَاتِ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّكُمْ. And expose yourself to the breezes of your Lord's mercy. And those breezes, they're blowing in Ramadan. Now how do we expose ourselves? When these rains and breezes of Allah's mercy comes, expose yourself. And you expose yourself with Quran, not by watching television, chit-chatting on the phone, getting the latest gossip. So don't worry. If you dedicate yourself to Quran, if you try to do two or three, four khatams of Quran, if you can read Arabic in Ramadan, and so you can't watch your news and you can't watch your ESPN, it's all going to be there after Ramadan. It's not going anywhere. It takes you 2 hours to catch up. Just go online, do a Google search, and you can catch up in 2 hours. But you can't catch up if you miss this Ramadan. You can't catch up next Ramadan. That's a new opportunity. And this one is gone. Take advantage of this one. Expose yourself to those breezes. And Ibn Rajab, he says, whoever is touched by one of those breezes experience bliss that's so deep he's never saddened for the rest of eternity. Meaning he'll be the people from people of Jannah. So expose yourself. Take advantage. Once the time goes, it's like a person. He comes, he asks, do you have a dollar? I'm in dire straits and someone stole my wallet. I need a dollar to call my wife. You know, this guy's trying to hustle me. And so the guy leaves and you give your dollar to the next person. You gave a dollar, but that person, you could have given $2 to him and the next one. But now you lost that opportunity and it's gone. Once this Ramadan is gone, the opportunity, all those blessings of Laylatul Qadr, all those blessings of Ramadan, they're gone and they're not coming back. There'll be a new Ramadan, inshaAllah. But this Ramadan and the opportunities that it holds to benefit our soul is gone. So brothers and sisters, take advantage. Lose a little sleep. This is Ibrahim al-Nakhai, rahimahullah, one of the teachers of Abu Hanifa. He mentioned, the people ruined before you were ruined for three things. Too much eating, too much talking, too much sleeping. And look at the wisdom of Ramadan. It cuts down on our eating because we're fasting, especially in these long days now. And our stomach starts shrinking. We can't even make up at night, for there's no room. So we try to like compensate. I have breakfast, lunch and dinner at night. No, there's no room. There's no time. So it cuts down on our eating. It cuts down on our speaking. Because towards about 6 o'clock we run out of gas and we become very judicious in our words. You're like, well, if it wasn't Ramadan I would argue with you, but I don't have the energy right now. And then from the adab of the prayer is to guard our tongue. So it cuts down on our talking and it cuts down on our sleeping. Because we stay up for Taraweeh and we get up early for Suhoor. And so an hour and a half early, it cuts our sleeping now. And this unleashes our spiritual energy because we're not feeding our carnal energy, our carnal appetites. We're feeding our ruh. And we have the strength. And we read Quran, we stand in Qiyam, we do all these things that require spiritual energy. It's unleashed. This is a special, this is a noble time. Allah has blessed it and honored it to reveal the Quran in it. And so the nobility of the time and the fact that we're unleashing this spiritual energy, this makes Ramadan special. Take advantage because as we said, it may never come again. May Allah Ta'ala bless you. As-salamu alaykum.
That's Imam Zaid Shakir as he gave us some advice on the opportunity of Laylatul Qadr, which is in the last 10 nights. A lot of people come together on the 27th night, which is on Monday night, to increase their devotion and to seek forgiveness from God, because it's the equivalent of 1,000 months. you know, at its core, Ramadan reorients the soul from a profane economy of excess to a sacred economy of measure. Modern life is structured around infinitude, endless growth, limitless desire, perpetual consumption. Ramadan reintroduces limit as a virtue. Hunger becomes pedagogy. Thirst becomes metaphysics. The self learns that it is not self-grounded, not autonomous, not sovereign. It is contingent, dependent, receptive. In this recognition, the soul is gently returned to its proper place within the hierarchy of being. This is what it means for Ramadan to restore the sacred order. The sacred is not merely what is holy, it is what is rightly placed. God is not one object among others, but the condition of possibility for all meaning. The human being is not master, but trustee. The world is not raw material, but a sign. Fasting trains the soul to perceive this order, not as abstraction, but as lived truth. When the body is restrained, the illusion of self sufficiently collapses. What remains is dependence on God, on others, on creation itself. So you see, Ramadan puts things into perspectives, and it essentially disciplines the human to seek for excellence, ihsan as it is known. Let's listen to Sheikh Riyad Saluji as he explores this concept of aiming for ihsan.
Bismillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. We're going to be looking at the topic of muraqabah, or consciousness of the divine. Our topic today is aiming for ihsan, where we look at the basics and the basis of muraqabah. Imagine with me for a moment, every blade of grass on every tree, every grain of sand in all of the deserts, every drop of water in the ocean, every breeze, every shaft of sunlight, every movement of my heart, every peace, every anxiety, every thought, all of this is known by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah tells us in the Quran, وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ رَقِيبًا, that Allah is over all things aware, a watcher, observant. And one of his most beautiful names is Ar-Raqib, the all-observing, the all-aware. Within me, Allah is as well all-aware, whether internally or whether externally. My words, my actions, my doings, my movement externally and internally as well. My feelings, my emotion, my will, my desires, everything is known and watched by Allah in the sense that it is a permanent, constant watching and observation. Nothing is hidden from Him, even in a moment. This reciprocal knowledge, my consciousness of Allah watching me, is what is called in Islam muraqabah. And muraqabah, the word muraqabah, has the same root letters as Ar-Raqib, the all-aware, Allah's beautiful name. And muraqabah indicates a relationship whereby I am aware and I am experientially aware, meaning that I'm aware in my heart, in my spiritual center, that Allah is Ar-Raqib and Allah is aware and watching me. And that knowledge, that consciousness in me, creates in me an awareness of what is going on inside of my heart. And I begin to become aware and conscious and vigilant about what is happening inside of me. Now, one may ask, this idea and concept and practice of muraqabah, where is its basis? And its basis is very much inside our Islamic tradition. From within the Islamic tradition, we find the strongest evidence, for example, in the hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam expounds to us the meaning of ihsan. And he says, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, al-ihsanu أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه، فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. إحسان is that you worship Allah as though you witness Him. And if you cannot witness Him, then know that He sees you. The second part, then know that Allah sees you, that Allah sees me, that is exactly the concept of muraqabah. And He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam defined ihsan. And ihsan means perfection. Ihsan means beauty. Ihsan means goodness. It means excellence. As though He is telling us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the epitome of beauty in Islam, the perfection of Islam, the culmination and the apex of all goodness in Islam, and the most profound excellence in Islam is to be found in the state of muraqabah. The scholars tell us, based on this text and others, that muraqabah of Allah is the key to all goodness. Because when I am experientially aware of Allah watching me, and I struggle and I work and I strive to be in that state, the more constant and permanent that state is, the more I'm going to be aware of Allah's infinite beauty and infinite majesty, and the more I will be conscious of everything that happens inside of me, whether of experience, emotion, of will. And therefore, my words will be beautiful. Therefore, my actions will be beautiful. And therefore, my emotions and my thoughts and feelings will also be beautiful and will be an expression, the truest, most perfect, most beautiful expression of Ihsan and of Islam. May Allah strengthen us to allow us to take that journey of muraqabah to Him with our hearts. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله المختار.
That's Sheikh Riyad Saluji, aiming for Ihsan or excellence. You know, it takes a lot of self-reflection. In the old times, the tradition was you withdraw from society and you have your quiet moments, you reflect, and you sort of create a self-awareness of where you are, the transitory nature of life. Asking yourself the big questions: why am I here? Where am I going? What purpose am I serving? You know, the big questions. But today's world, we are so in a rat race that we can't pull ourselves away from it. You know, I recall once I was advised, you know, you live in this world like the fly who sees a plate of honey, and he sits on the edge of the plate and he consumes as much as he wishes and then he flies off. Or the fly that sees a plate of honey and dives into it and satiates himself, and when it's time to fly up, he's so sticky, his wing could not move. Similar, this world, if we merge ourselves into it to that degree, when the time comes to go, we can't move. We can't fly, we can't move to that other phase of life. Let's continue now as we listen a bit more to Sheikh Riyad Saluji as he speaks about the experience of muraqabah.
This is our second discussion about muraqabah, or being mindful of the divine. In this discussion, we want to look now at some of the components of muraqabah, and in particular, the nature of the experience of muraqabah. The moment we understand muraqabah, that we are to be aware of Allah being aware of us, that is an intellectual or conceptual understanding. And that begins at the level of the mind. And that is good, because knowing about something intellectually or conceptually does produce a change. Simply knowing that Allah is watching me will produce in me a vigilance of myself and what is happening inside of myself. However, the reality of muraqabah goes deeper than that. It descends deeper into my spiritual epicenter, or my heart, or my qalb. The qalb, the spiritual heart, is the seat of all knowledge. It's the seat of all of my emotions, and it is the seat of my will and determination and resolve. And the intent of muraqabah is that my awareness of Allah being ar-raqib and watching over me is experienced or tasted with my qalb, with my heart. Now one might ask, for example, well, what is the nature of this experience? What is the nature of this feeling? So one might ask, well, what is this feeling? How can you explain it to me? Well, the feelings are going to be feelings that would naturally come about when we are aware that Allah, who is infinitely beautiful and infinitely majestic and powerful, is watching me and watching inside of me. Those feelings, for example, are going to be feelings of khashya, or awe, or ta'zeem, or reverence, or haya, or feeling sensitive and feeling modest, and aman, feeling secure, and salam, feeling peace. Those would be the feelings that would naturally be produced as one deepens and continues the process and effort of muraqabah. We all have access to those feelings. We all have experiences where we do feel something like that in the presence of someone important or someone with status or position. And we all know the power of presence. For example, if you've ever met or been in a meeting with someone who is very important, we all know how we prepare for that meeting, how we dress, how we arrive, how we conduct ourselves, the etiquette, the comportment that we show, the way in which we speak. And all of those external manifestations all come really from the ripple effects of awe or reverence or conscientiousness that we feel inside our qalb or our spiritual center. When I was younger, for example, I remember the feeling that I had when I was around my grandmother. And my grandmother was very slight and petite of build. She was very unassuming, but she had a tremendous presence. She was very conscious of Allah and very Allah-loving. And I remember that no matter what I wanted to do of getting up to tricks and being naughty, whenever I would see her and whenever she would enter into my presence, my behavior would change immediately. And what I remember most, even now as an adult, is the feeling that I had. That feeling of reverence, of respect, of awe. Another example that I experience these days is in the institute where I am memorizing Quran. We have to give the portion that we memorize in the morning to the teacher and read it to the teacher at 8 o'clock. And so at around 7:45, the students get together and sit and start to prepare. And generally the students are not preparing anything. They're fooling around and playing around and taking it easy. And they have one student as a lookout. And the moment the teacher drives his car up the driveway to the school and the institute, no sooner does he do that, does the lookout shout, "The teacher is here, the teacher is here," and everyone scrambles to sit at their desk and to be focused and to prepare their work. Those would be examples that I experience and you experience of the power of presence. That is, that as we deepen our consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that experiential awareness will germinate and will blossom in us. So it begins with an intellectual awareness and a conceptual awareness, and that is good and that is necessary. But it must deepen beyond that to be an experience of the qalb itself, because only at that level where the qalb is affected are we truly transformed from the inside out, and our khuluq and our character will begin to change. May Allah make that easy for us, and may Allah give us and not deprive us of that qalbi experience of His nearness, of His beauty and of His majesty. وصلى اللهم وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله المختار.
Yes, listeners, Sheikh Riyad Saluji, as he advises us, and it's not too late. We still have another 5 or 6 days of Ramadan. We have still some odd nights. We can still get there. So seek God, seek forgiveness, seek transformation, seek to be a better person in this month of Ramadan. Now, we'll be remiss if we do not speak about Al-Quds Day. Today is a day that is Al-Quds Day, meaning for the Palestinians. And I'd like to play a song from a young Palestinian, MC Abdul, as he sings and raps to that, to the sort of experience that is occurring to Palestinians.
I'm exhausted. Last night I couldn't sleep, but when I did, I could hear bombs in my dreams. Nightmare situation. How could they be so evil? Making murders out of children and innocent people. We expect the bombs, not knowing where next. Huddle in the corner of my room, trying to protect my little brother. As the building shakes like it's possessed, but nothing stronger than the will of the oppressed. I bomb back with my lyrics and rhymes, living the times, trying to break the Palestinian mind. What's hiding in the clouds hanging over my head? My dad risks his life outside to buy bread. The fourth war in my 12th year. At this stage, I'm numb, though I haven't felt scared. There's nothing I can do in this case to stay safe. I'm brave, even though this house could be my grave. I want freedom for the population. 2 million prisoners living in this location. Shouting at the wall, but nothing is ever changing. That's life under an occupation. I want freedom for the population. 2 million prisoners living in this location. Shouting at the wall, but nothing is ever changing. That's life under an occupation. Mothers mourn, fighting with grief. White sheets covered by his death. Lie on the streets, buildings turn to ash, but my mind is made of steel. So it doesn't take much for me to heal. Won't lose the will to live or lose our minds. My auntie lost her home, so she lost her life. But she's still alive, but traumatized by the bombs that flew in and dropped at night. My sister couldn't sleep, tried to stop her cries. I said it was fireworks, I was telling her lies. Where's the compassion? This is heartless. It's like they want us all living in darkness. Cutting off water and electricity for hours. They're knocking towers, but that's not nothing. The power that I have in my pen, when I'm writing, I'm unstoppable. The microphone is the only escape possible, cause that's the way that I can speak my mind. I wonder how does the fighter pilot sleep at night, knowing he can turn the city upside down all of a sudden, slaughtering families with the push of a button. I want freedom for the population. 2 million prisoners living in this location. Shouting at the wall, but nothing is ever changing. Death, life under an occupation. I want freedom for the population. 2 million prisoners living in this location. Shouting at the wall, but nothing is ever changing. Death, life under an occupation.
MC Abdul.
But I know one day you will realize it's the mercies of God that has kept us alive. We will sing a new song for justice, and we will go through. You've got to focus your eyes on the prize. If you slip, you will slide, and from God you can't hide. We will sing a new song for justice, and we will go through. And if you don't have no love in your heart, then we'll have to depart, because you need love to start to sing a new song for justice, for peace to go through. And although it can bite me down, I get stronger and stronger. I'm always around. I'm rooted and ground for justice. Still I go through.
Ya Rahim, 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 Ya Rahim,
Yes, listeners, next episode, next Saturday, we will be out of Ramadan, the month of Shawwal. I'd like to say, you know, make the best of the rest of Ramadan and Eid Mubarak and all good things. And I leave you with the words of Muhyiddin Chisti, his last words as read by Sheikh Hamza Yusuf. Until next week, inshallah, peace out. God bless.
One of the greatest saints of our history was a great saint named Muhyiddin Chisti. And the last talk that he gave to his students is how I'd like to talk to you, because I don't think I could do anything better than Muhyiddin Chisti. He said to his students as he was departing the world, "Love all and hate none. Mere talk of peace will avail you not. Mere talk of God and religion will not take you far. Bring out all the latent powers of your being and reveal the full magnificence of your immortal self. Be overflowing with peace and joy and scatter them wherever you go, wherever you are. Be a blazing fire of truth, be a beauteous blossom of love, and be a soothing balm of peace. With your spiritual light, dispel the darkness of ignorance. Dissolve the clouds of discord and war, and spread goodwill, peace, and harmony among the people. Never seek any help, charity, or favors from anybody except God. Do not go to the courts of kings, but never refuse to bless and help the needy and the poor, the widow and the orphan, if they come to your door. This is your mission, to serve the people. Carry it out dutifully and courageously, so that I, as your teacher, will not be ashamed of any shortcomings on your part before Almighty God and our blessed predecessors in this silsila on the Day of Judgment. Alhamdulillah.
AM, Youngstown, Toronto.
Truck servicing kete vich Ontario da mohri na Quick Truck Lube. Tusi ik truck chalone cha fleet hegi je. Tohada time value rakhda. Appointment bhi lod nahi. First come, first served. State of the art facility. Trained technicians rahi. Best high grade oils, filters, engine di jaan vadaunde. Hor ki chahida. Tin location na to tuhadi seva karde. QTL. Exit 268 Highway 401 Cambridge. Exit 579 Highway 401 Napanee. Exit 5 QEW4 Airy. Service or quality vich sab to parmukh na. QTL. 519-622-0660. Jo aave, so razi jaave.
मेरी पूरे साल की सेविंग $400 हुई है
मेरी सेविंग $350
और मेरी सेविंग सबसे ज्यादा हुई है मैंने सेव किए हैं $2000
क्या चमत्कार किया मुझे भी गुर सिखाओ ना
भाई बात सादा सी है हमारे पास दो गाड़ियां और एक घर है और इन सब की इंश्योरेंस मिलाकर मैंने जबरदस्त सेविंग की है आप भी अपनी गाड़ी और घर के इंश्योरेंस में खूब सेविंग कर सकते हैं 647-290-3773 647-290-3773
Tele Time Electronics, LEDs और Home Appliances की Hottest और Branded Range के साथ 0% Finance, Guarantee और Lowest Prices और Free Delivery in GTA. तो इंतजार कैसा? अभी विजिट करें Tele Time Brampton, 280 Rutherford Road या Springdale Square Shopping Center या Etobicoke, 1770 Albion Road या 9909 Markham Road. مزید تفصیلات کے لیے کال کریں 905-455-1666 ٹیلی ٹائم الیکٹرونکس
چاندنی
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 چاندنی بینکویٹ ہال
انٹیلیجنٹ چوائس لوکیشنز ساؤنڈ سسٹم انوویشنز چاندنی بینکویٹ ہال
30 years of hospitality experience Corporate event, exhibition, expo or any celebration.
Indoor and outdoor golf course facilities. Chandni Banquet Hall. For appointment, call today at 905-458-8888. 905-458-8888. Or visit chandnivictoria.ca. Chandni.
700.